Podly dum.
All the cycles.
Podcast.
Leap dumb.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Podlitum. What is Podlitum? It's America's Next Top Model podcast, spelled backwards, just in case, I don't know, you're joining us for the first time because you want to know where the boys are at. My name is Hannah Jane Ginsburg. And I'm definitely not what anybody thinks a plumber would look like.
I'm JDB Crump, and now you're clean, which is enjoyable.
And I'm Lex Basile Price, and a man wants a woman that is like an antelope in the jungle of Africa.
And we are here today discussing still episode one, now part two of cycle 20 of America's Next Top Model. Meet the guys and girls of cycle 20, which I have retitled The Guy Who Does Family Math.
And if you do math, you should go to anchor.fm/podlitum or
and do +1, +5, or +10.
Or podcast.spotify.com/pod/show/.
Lex, I think there's a gov in there. I think we got more gov.
EDU.
Ooh, educational.
Part of the Litum Pod, but I'm your friend. I made this easy. It's a little button right like down there. So if you got a booch dollar, if you got an OTS tooch dollar.
Do you want to hear a really cute story about my kid really quickly?
Always.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're working
imagine
on
if
vocabulary.
We were like, no.
Get that out of my face.
I don't come here for kids.
Working on vocabulary, you're tracking like how many words he's learning. And we went to the elevator the other day and I was like, okay, Ozzy, we're getting on the elevator. Do you want to push the button? And he lifted up his shirt and touched his belly button. And it was so cute.
Now that has to be the only thing he does.
Also, I love this Amelia Bedelia energy that your son is serving. It's like, oh, we're going literal.
Uh-huh. I got you.
We don't talk enough about Amelia Bedelia. That was a fun concept.
Yeah. Not one single word was said by Brian Boy because this entire intro is ADR.
Oh, and they don't even try to hide it.
No, they couldn't have cared any
it's
less.
It's just shots of all of them milling around, talking to each other.
And then I said, no, Marvin, don't do this to yourself because Marvin talks about wanting to be the Rob Evans of himself, basically, and saying, maybe... I can be the Marvin Cortez to somebody, you know? And I was like, oh, don't do that.
Dream better.
Yeah.
We get some top model math of going from
math.
Yes. Going from 26 to 16 is a huge chunk of the pile. And I like to think that, you know how like oldie time measurements were like.
Oh, like a dab was a real thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A pile and a chunk. A chunk is like 10% of a pile or whatever.
Like a pile is the length of 26 people.
Yes.
I wonder if we were to go back in top model audition episodes, if they've eliminated enough numbers that we could come up with a system that's like what they believe everything is. Well, this is a portion. This is a big amount. This is a chunk.
How did we feel about this flower bower on this wall?
This is a Ruby Tuesdays of a house. It's not even a TGI Fridays.
No. Could you imagine dusting this house?
Ooh. Well, and also, the words on the walls are so poorly done that sometimes you actually don't know. Similar to Clea, who's fully confused by one of the words. Because Clea, I think, is the one who goes, no mama's boys. And you can see her being like, wait, does that mean this is a... women's room?
Yeah.
Or a men's room?
Also, two different wall stickers, and the kerning is off because mama's boy was one sticker and no was another.
And there are so many that we only keep seeing parts of, and it's driving me crazy.
And then one just says, bros before ...
Terrible.
Great.
Terrible.
There's don't hate the playa, hate the game.
Which is so funny because that one's not even inherently gendered.
No.
Like,
no.
It's definitely meant to reference the dudes, but like...
Why do I have you don't spin that way, love?
Somebody said it to Corey when Corey asked if she would give him a lap dance.
Actually, No, I'm going to be mad for a sec. So both of you are correct. Mm-hmm. I hate this moment. And this is yes. a mm-hmm. pet peeve. This is a gerbil of a thing, a pet that I have, and it is a peeve that I am
cared
having.
Cared for.
Nurtured.
Yeah, you're this peeve's dad.
mm-hmm. And it's mostly gone away. I hate the trope of a straight girlfriend of a gay man. Anytime the guy makes a clear joke, like Corey was, of like, this is the bathtub you're going to give me a lap dance in. First of all, that's crazy, so you know it's a joke. Secondly, that person's trying to be silly because that could not be less sexualized. And the reason it's not sexualized is Corey knows that he is a gay man. Uh-huh. And I hate the other person acting
like they're like, gonna have sex.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Like they put like that the queer person put it on the table by making a joke.
It's remember cycles ago when I believe her name is Gina, she was in the auditions and she had their cute sci-fi glamazon story. Mm-hmm. And you were like, don't sexualize her cute story. The male sacrifice did not need to be sexualized in that way. I feel like the same thing happens when you say stuff like that. And also, honey and love in one sentence.
Pick
Take it
one.
Down a notch.
Who are you, Corey?
We see the bottom of a picture in an ornate frame that says 20 cycles, ... still fierce. Thanks, THX, ANTM fans. Mm-hmm. And then they pan up and it is a picture of Tyra as a hot cop.
A cab. All cops, including Tyra, are bastards.
As a construction worker.
Construction
So I don't
worker.
Know if it's like Tyra taking on masculine yes. jobs.
But it's all through the village people. Yes.
Yes.
We just thankfully don't see quote unquote Indian Tyra.
Uh-huh. Yet. Who knows what's
who knows?
Waiting us around a corner.
I hate this mustache and lip wall.
Ugh.
Tacky, oh. tacky, tacky.
It's so gin. So much of this is like gender reveal party props.
Yes.
I feel like they went to that aisle in Party City mm-hmm. and were like, got it. Boys like soccer balls and monster trucks. Girls like dresses and tiaras. Mike was discovered 2 weeks ago. Here's my new theory. I think Mike's the 35th person.
Oh,
I think
maybe.
They had a
maybe.
Cast. And then
oh
Tyra
God,
was
yes.
like, she was like, you won't believe what I found.
I just found an ice cream truck. I need you to make room for him.
The whole truck, please. I bought it.
Even though she must be so, so tired dating him, Phil's girlfriend, Zoe, is very cute.
Oh, clearly too good for him.
Sure. And I'm sorry. Are those olives on a crudité platter? Olives on a crudité? What are you going to dip an olive in?
Its own juices. I think that Renee might secretly be our weirdo.
I love Renee. I love Renee so much.
You know, I got to say, a little bit of a surprise, Lex. Not a classic Lex pick,
no,
in my opinion.
But you know what? Renee seems very smart.
And
also
grounded.
Not, yeah.
Focused. Mm-hmm. Focused. Renee says, though, it almost as an affront to everything we just complimented her on, that Jordan is, quote, physically one of the strongest people here. And the way that sounds is like Jordan is literally strong.
Like benching people.
Yeah. And in my head, side. Renee's like, she's so tall. She must be so strong.
Jordan is not here for Alexandra because Alexandra said, maybe have a backup.
Yeah. Oop. I did love Nina going, oh, we got a smart cookie on our hands. Okay.
Waka, waka, waka.
Nina also said trans rights because yeah. Nina is here to support everyone.
Oh, absolutely. I like that Nina... And she's correct, thinks that her biggest competition is Verge.
Mm-hmm. She's like, because, I'm not worried about blonde women.
Yeah.
Because no way.
Verge is gorgeous. And you can, I bet even in the real time of the show, people are like, oh, they're really giving us a lot of Verge content.
Mm-hmm. She's like, I also can't tell Bianca and Gianna apart.
Thank God Lauren left. They were all one woman to me.
Marvin hedges his bets and says, These guys, they haven't been through the same things that I've been through, and I can probably guarantee that.
Just like the men's warehouse outlet, I can probably guarantee that.
I do love what you're saying, though, Hannah, that Marvel was like, God, I guess I haven't talked to all of them.
They might be just as traumatized as I am. I can't.
Oh, don't
can't
talk to Chris
it.
H.
But then the show will do this twice. Marvin gets a sepia-toned flashback to week one.
Oh my God.
Which it still is because it
day.
Was today.
Classic. Our first guy contestant with an in-episode sepia told.
We also discover from Verge that she just started hormone replacement therapy.
And gives a really great explanation about what that is.
And why this. It's making her time on the show difficult.
Uh-huh.
This is actually educational.
Yes. Yeah.
This is top model at its best, because describing it is like, you know, puberty that happens over the course of many years. Basically, hormone replacement therapy, it's crammed into basically a year. Yeah. So any of the feelings, emotions, physical pain, etc., that you remember from puberty, mm-hmm. I'm dealing with it in hyperspeed.
Uh-huh.
And I really did love that it seems like Corey went out of his way to bond with Verge.
This
and have a
duo?
Moment with her.
I
it
love
was so
this.
Lovely.
I love this friendship.
We also later on see Verge with both Corey and Chris S a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this queer consort that's kind of happening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also because you're in a house that's inherently designed to push this fuck each other energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it feels
it's like Love Island energy. It's fully Love Island energy.
I mean, the beds are pushed world. Together.
Early challenge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just feels like, as JW said, it's this queer conclave. Like, they're like, hey, let's just chat together.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not wanting to get involved with what the fuck's going on out there.
Although I will say, well, and once again, this is interesting. She and Marvin share a lovely moment later on. That's so nice. We're not there yet, but it really just made me feel good things about everyone involved.
Yeah, I love that all the contestants seem to have a very positive relationship with Verge. And I think that's, you know, we had the poo-poo Clark days.
Mm-hmm.
That is not happening with Verge. Mm-mm. And I love that from the contestants.
And do not forget whatever Casey's whole fucking deal.
Oh, how? I mean, my brain doesn't want to. My brain's trying to protect me.
Sure,
Lex,
sure.
I'm sorry.
You know who's not protected? The contestants.
From this rat's nest on Tyra's head.
So many bumpets stacked atop each other.
And then,
like a house of cards.
When she comes in, she grabs the back of Chris S's neck.
Yeah, she sure does.
In a really uncomfortable way.
Yeah, he moves to protect himself immediately. And you understand why. We see a bald alien photo of Tyra that we have never seen before.
Never seen.
For 2 seconds.
Actually, weirdly, we have once, and it was the bald photo shoot of Yore. This was the sample
the H.R. Geiger.
It was?
It was
I don't
like,
even remember.
It had a very different color treatment. Mm. And I think they aliened this version up.
This moment made me realize, for Tyra's hypothesis to work, this just needed to be men. This needed to be a cycle where they just did male modeling.
Yes.
I see what you're saying.
Because it starts getting, it's too like confused messaging about what's happening.
Well, if you were one of the guy contestants, I would just feel bad by what it's about to happen. Because, okay, so Rob and Tyra both enter.
And Rob is all in on these fucking berets for some reason.
And everyone's all in on lens flares.
Tyra intros by saying, the industry is ruled by women. And someone, no idea who, gives a solo woo, which was hilarious. But that sometimes a man can break the hell through. No one is going to tell these men how.
No.
To make that happen. What you need to do. Because now, instead of getting industry advice from a professional who's been doing this for decades, which is Tyra Banks, they have to go chat in a room with Rob, who doesn't know anything.
Well, and so much of this is Tyra just telling everyone that women models make more money and have more options and are just better, and the chances of making it as a male model are just so low. And if you were one of the dudes, I'd be like, oh,
great.
Okay, but it doesn't feel like I should do this then.
So I did a little research. And, like, obviously, there is a wage gap. But the way the show phrases, that women run the fashion industry is incredibly untrue.
Yes.
Yes, there are more female models because the industry is geared towards advertising that, and also industries. Women at that time, especially cosmetics, swimwear.
Which Tyra does explore. She's like, yeah, there's more things we can market.
But I just think it is disingenuous to be like, this industry, it's for us women. Where it's like, but you're actually like not real, not at the top of the industry.
Mm.
Not at those, you know, actually high-paying jobs.
I will say that
jobs.
I mostly took, and it's always confusing because Tyra's ill-spoken most of the time. I took it for her to just mean female models are the real deal.
Sure.
Men are accessories. And hey, have you, like Danny, have you watched every cycle? Because I always called them props, mannequins.
Meat.
And even that was the one moment where Rob was like, I hate it when we're called mannequins. And I was like, Rob doesn't like Tyra.
Sure. But also, could you show me more of a mannequin male model? Because Rob doesn't do anything.
I loved the giant Tyron of top model female crime.
Oh my god.
And I was like, what is about to come out of their mouths? And then the crime is, quote, being overshadowed by one of these fools.
Pop culture time cops have more important cases than top model female crimes. Okay,
tell me more about female crimes.
It's like
female crimes.
It's the unproduced sequel to Female Troubles.
Can I commit some more of them?
Be female, do crimes.
I'm going to make $1 million on that t-shirt.
Straight to Redbubble, baby.
Do female crimes.
So they're split into groups where they're going to chit-chat with their mentors. Sorry, guys.
It's not even a contest. Yeah, if I were one of these guys, it's like, well, I guess I'll go listen to Rob Evans tell me about modeling. The only one who's excited is Jeremy, because he's like, we're both strong.
Yeah. Also, what is this Dawn footage package? Where did this come
from? The album cover?
Yes.
It feels like Dawn provided it himself. It was like, just play some B-roll that I made for us.
This is also why I'm on Team Renee, a big thing. She has a clear head in this competition, regarding sex especially. She is not here for that. She is focused. She is no. I am here to make money. I am here to work.
I do think it's interesting that she said she had chosen to be celibate, where really it just sounded to me like she only wants to have sex with boyfriends.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's just not what I would define as celibacy.
No.
But good for her. You know, good on you. Do what makes you happy.
I had one of my best typos in autocorrect ever because I wrote Renee is celebrate.
Yes.
Celebrate.
Good times. Come on.
Kanani thinks that they're the college cycle because Kanani cannot stop making school metaphors.
Oh my God.
The bell is ringing. This is subject. This is class. And I was like, Kanani, you're one cycle too late.
Rob says that he's a supermodel because sometimes he makes more money as a model than some women.
Okay, who? Not Tyra Banks, apparently.
Poke the holes in that. You can't.
Also.
Rock solid statement. Disprove it.
Rob says, hey, as a model, you're going to get free food and alcohol. And you think the next thing is like, don't give into drugs and stuff. And he's like, no. You might get fat. So don't eat all of it.
It was so close to real advice.
Yes.
For like a half second.
The tones of the two sessions really bothered me because Tyra takes a moment to talk about, you're going to be working with these guys, sexuality, sensuality, but I don't want porn, blah, blah, blah. And if this happens, we don't see it. There should have been a moment of, from Rob, you're going to be working with these partners. You have a responsibility to make sure that they feel comfortable with you, that you're respecting boundaries, that you establish that beforehand. Tyra brings it up irresponsibly, and Rob doesn't bring it up at all. And it drives me crazy, especially because the show is forcing this narrative constantly.
Uh-huh.
It makes me so upset.
Understandably so. I'm going to be mean to Delton.
Oh, good, because I was just about to be mean to Delton, too.
Delton has self-described as a plumber from Alaska. Mm-hmm. And then he says that he doesn't look like what people think of when they think of a plumber. And then they show two pictures that are exactly what I think of when I think of a plumber. And it feels like someone hated Delton when he said that.
But also, it looks like he fixed his own sink. The photos don't prove that he is a plumber.
Yeah, are you an accredited plumber?
Doesn't seem like it. Because it's always these two photos.
Handyman. Maybe.
Some under the table.
Do some work for friends.
Yeah.
Because I'm also just like, I feel weirdly defensive of plumbing. I'm like, that's a union job.
Yeah.
Plumbers are some of our most valuable citizens. Yes. Come on.
Also, the whole thing about, I'm like, honey, you can take as many showers as you want. Be clean if it makes you feel better. After
that
work.
Was okay.
Before work.
I know that was my opening quote, but it's so funny to me that, first of all, I don't think plumbing as inherently a dirty job.
No.
It's not
there
like
can
he,
be there, particular yeah, cases that
for
might
sure,
be.
For sure, yeah. For sure. But again, like you're saying, you're only dirty during the job, and then you can be as clean as you want afterwards. I would argue that the show has proven that sometimes they make you roll around in the mud. Mm-hmm. And then you got to clean off.
Yeah. Tyra 2 list about
the ultimate
about male model boyfriends, but only gives one example because the other one is raw.
And how much do you love this story that shows that Kimora Lee Simmons is a great friend, or at the very least,
a shitster? Both can be true.
And there was, I love these glimpses into a real personality for Tyra, mm-hmm. because she was like, you know how you're already over somebody, but then they cheat on you and you're like, well, you're not supposed to be over me. I'm supposed to be over you. And I was like, that is so real.
And that fun moment is followed up by the worst advice Tyra has ever given that we've seen on the show.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to give them love advice.
Why would you
and
take...
I immediately wrote, oh, no.
Why would you ever take love advice from Freako Tyra, who is never proven to ever interact with anyone in a relationshipy way correctly?
And she says that. She mm-hmm. starts before this advice. She talks about, I don't have a boyfriend right now. I've kind of had two.
A man wants a woman that is like an antelope in the jungle of Africa, running. So make him work for it.
Also, I don't think antelopes are in the jungle. I think she meant savannah, but nevertheless, so fucking gross.
And then Gianna.
The best.
The biggest regret I'm sure anyone's ever had on this show.
Yeah. Why? Why?
What could she have possibly said?
Says, and I reround it twice. I was like, there's no way she said this. She says, in a talking head, which means that this was something she was like, in, like, thinking about.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But she's a pretty big flirt. Man, woman, or child. Because when you start, you're like, man, woman, oh, bisexual. Oh.
What?
What?
Expected. What I thought was going to happen was that she was immediately going to be like, child, what did I just say? But it doesn't happen.
Nope. She's like real confident in that statement. Yes. Because she, it's like in her brain, she knows, oh, man, woman, and child. That's like a phrase.
You know what happened. Yeah. You know but what like, happened.
But she just does not hear it.
So it's like, oh, you flirt with children?
I wonder.
Donna?
Because again, man, woman, and child, it's a classic phrase we say. It's every time I'm on a sinking ship, I scream it. And then I wonder, she didn't hear this. She watched this episode and she's like, oh, look, it's me. Oh.
What?
Oh, no. Gianna, her phone just starts like a million text messages. No.
Because also she didn't deliver it in a way where the show could have like helped her out.
No.
And edited it. She was just like,
real matter of fact,
I'll flirt with man, woman, or child. And you're like, Gianna.
You will?
Gianna.
Why?
Okay. Look, I have a house gripe.
Okay.
Foosball. That is so loud. That is our clickiest,
so
clackiest
loud.
Thing. That is going to
well,
be loud.
It could have been air hockey.
Well, true. But come, as someone who has lived in multiple fraternity houses during college, foosball, you got to put to the side.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Adam comes across like a men's rights activist in the grossest way.
Yeah, Adam gets he's clearly giving the producers all of this, like, men good, women bad energy, and they edit in every time he does it.
Well, and it's also like women don't deserve more money. It's just like, I think he actually is a shitty person. I don't think this is like him being gassed up, because the amount and the way that he says it is always so gross.
To your credit, Lex, he gives options. He gives options.
Mm-hmm. Angles.
It's not Jordan with the one speech she gave that they've just placed.
So Chris H comes back to be a main character, which I'm unhappy about.
Me too.
Starting with the phrase, deep down in my heart, I feel really genuine about being here. Which, like I said in our previous episode, that is phrased in such a way that it makes me nervous because I don't actually know what he means. I don't know if he knows what he means.
Mm-hmm.
And then he decides, apparently he has a hard time making friends, a hard time being social, all very believable. So what he says is his way to try to bond is to put on boxing gloves and sack tap a bunch of other guys.
Well, he's also in his underwear with a blur that makes it look like his dick is falling out.
Yeah, they had to blur that underwear. Mm. You know, it's funny, just as a side note before we get more into it, I always said nut tap and I've never heard sack tap. And I like the way that sack tap.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and everyone who is out there is mad,
angry. Well, that's your 0 to 60 moment.
You know what it feels like a little bit? You know the dog at the dog park that is a little too aggressive?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I know your dog isn't bad, but this dog doesn't know how to like interact with other dogs.
Yeah. And the situation could flip and become really bad in an instant.
Yes, because he's usually bigger than the other dogs.
Yeah.
And that's how it feels with Chris.
I think that's apt. It's also very interesting that when he's being yelled at for doing this, he does not seem to understand why people are upset. I also do think that Phil's being a little too upset. Like, yeah, everyone else is like annoyed. Mm-hmm. And then Phil's like, to get him back, punching him, but it's like way more aggressive. Violent feeling. Mm-hmm. Because Chris H. wasn't trying to be violent.
No, he's annoying, like an annoying kid brother.
And I truly wonder if the show at this point was like, what are we going to, like, what's fighting and what's not now? Because now we're getting into punching and...
But I do worry that his perspective never really seems to include other people or how he'll make them feel.
No.
It's always, you don't know me, you don't know why I'm like this, you don't know my story. All of this is valid. All of this is someone who I think is processing the trauma that he's spoken about, but it seems like he has a hard time really seeing with other empathy. People. Yes. Yeah. And it makes me really worried for my sweet Nina.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Who's got very, I can save him energy.
Yeah. Oh, she gets into that real quick.
It seems very like, hey, I also was weird and people didn't like me, but I figured out how to be friendly. And he's only seeing it from a very selfish perspective.
Yes.
Johnny's hat says wannabe.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
They head to the W Hotel across the street from the Pantages. And at the time, the show that was at the Pantages was Jekyll and Hyde, starring Constantine Morales and Deborah Cox.
Amazing.
Because Bring on the Men. Connection. Bring on the Men. Where are the boys at?
Oh.
Layers of meaning.
And this is the stupidest photo shoot. Because
incomprehensible photo shoot challenge.
The bottom half of it, I've got to call the bottom half. You know what I mean? Like the part on the ground was fine.
It's very nondescript.
Very audition
half
episode.
The part on the ground was fine.
The photo itself.
The photo shoot itself was good.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they never cut because what they're going to do is they're taking, of course, one of the women and one of the men at the same time with two different photographers, and they're going to be projected onto the side of a building, but the projection is so
faint.
But not only that, but so covered by windows.
Yes.
That even the show never cuts to it because it's instantly impossible.
And everyone that happens to pass by the projection will be able to text their votes for the photos for a social media score that we will never see.
Because it doesn't make sense.
And Brian Boy explains it so poorly that Ashley has to re-explain it immediately to the audience. And it was so funny to me that Ashley was like, here's what Brian Boy meant.
My one moment of Ashley in this episode. I think America will love me.
We love you, Ashley.
We got more.
We learned that Corey is biracial. Mm-hmm. And because Corey always takes it one step too far, calls himself African American.
And then we find out his real nickname.
Uh-huh.
And you can tell it's
nickname.
Real.
Nickname.
Well, bully name.
Bully name, yeah.
Bully word.
Which was Corio the Oreo. And I'm like, we know that's real and Tyra wasn't, because that sounds like the level that kids would put into coming up with a mean bully name. But I'll say this. Corey is here to tell you everything that has ever happened to him.
Corey is an open book, and that book is a 3-page pamphlet that is also reversible, and also there's a secret. Oh, if you do an origami, it's a new.
Oh, like the back of Mad Magazine. Also, we're blasting a song from the Eurotrip soundtrack.
We were?
Yes!
I hate that they have to, I think it's part of the challenge, talk to people on the street.
They were clearly forced to.
Yeah, I don't think it was intended to be part of the challenge. And then they realized that this was nonsensical and no one was stopping because you couldn't actually see the photo. So they said, go talk to the people and get them to vote for you.
Because that drunk dude that Nina talks to?
In the tuxedo? The man who just
went to an award
show? The runaway
show?
Groom? Like
he got too drunk at Jekyll and Hyde across the street.
They
asked
I love
him
this.
To leave.
Yes.
At intermission.
He was ushered out.
I don't feel like I bring it up quite as often as the two of you do when there's a bad makeup job. What did some mean makeup artist do to Renee?
I don't know.
Renee's lip makeup. They make a white ring around her lips.
In a really aggressively racist way.
Well, just someone who doesn't have any understanding of the color and tone of her skin.
Nope.
Like, we've seen bad highlights, bad contouring, bad whatever, but this was as if...
No, it's they made it look like minstrel show is the whiteness of which they lined her lips.
It's crazy.
And it's a shame because she's killing it.
Some of the better modeling, for sure. Mm-hmm.
The styling for the men is fucking gay because they said, I feel like Johnny was like, oh, we're not doing the fucking runway show again. We're putting you in actual things.
Yeah.
Like, they are in leather and lace. That is what this category is for the men.
Mesh shirts, baby.
International mail catalog.
The men got way dumber outfits than the women did this time. Yeah. The women got the normie clothes. And it's so nice to see Johnny helping people, coming up to them. He came up to Chris Age, and Chris Age was like, I'm doing poorly. Johnny was like, I'm going to help you. We're going to get through this. Like, it's so nice.
I do think Chris H. might be a good model once he gets out of his head. He has that moment where he, like, flicks the glove, and I was like, oh, that's kind of a moment.
Yeah. And here's the thing. He's got a great look.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's got a look that makes you think it is interesting, it is different, it is still modely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jordan's posing is not for me. She's trying too hard to be model, in my mind.
Yeah, no, I get that.
She's a very interesting presence on this show so far because she's not interesting, which sounds like a stupid thing to say. And I own that.
This is my journey.
She's someone who the show is pushing really hard, as really we said, hard to be a front runner early on. She's someone who a lot of things have happened to that we're hearing bits about. She also really seems like she does not want to be there. Like, she's forcing herself to be there because it's her quickest way to start modeling, is what it feels like to me. Because she seems really unengaged, not present, pained, not happy, like, and not that much has happened yet.
You know how we talk about people having, like, a spark or not? Mm-hmm. It never feels like Jordan is showing, like, a spark.
No.
And not from a place of, I think she's dull or anything, but I think she's dulled herself.
Yeah, she seems super guarded to the point where she's aggressively neutral.
Because we should be fair. This is one of two bad Johnny things, he says. After Corey's, he just goes seemingly unprovoked. I hope there was more to this, but we only hear, well, we all have that inner black woman inside of us. And then Corey goes, we all do, don't we? And Corey was clearly like, no.
What are we blurring on Delton's crotch?
I assume it was just see-through or something.
It was so
his
weird.
His plumbing. Sorry.
How dare you?
Sorry.
How fucking dare you?
Clea says, "Significant."
Yeah, she's our malapropper. This is, she's the
I loved it.
I love that movie. I didn't like the sequel as much.
I know. That's exactly what I thought too. It's like, oh, it's like, you know how they make sometimes the cheap DVD version of the movie? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you mean Hansel versus Gretel?
Ever heard of that? Starring one Lax Marcel Price. Oh my God, it's great. Also, I wish we had seen more, but at some point, Chris S. got a metal claw hand.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know everything about that choice. And then Corey talks about Chris S.'s shortness as like how you talk about when someone has crabs. You're just like, he's just got to deal with his
shortness.
Yeah, exactly what, where it's not bad, but you're like, I kind of don't want to say it.
It's not his fault.
But I don't want to like touch him. Does that make me a bad person?
That's not his fault.
No, it's not his fault, but I don't want to catch it. I just don't want to deal with it.
This, we discover, was too soon for Verge.
Yeah.
Which is sad because she is just struggling with the pressure, with the worries of the competition, and with what she's going through physically. It all just seems like way too much. And it makes me really sad because I would have loved to see more from her.
Yeah.
And the worst part is, she looks fucking hot.
So amazing. Hot. So she looks good. So good.
A dark lip, which is funny because she won that like red lip thing. So truly, a dark lip looks so great on Verge.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a makeup ad. This is lipstick ad. Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Jeremy's mother is a big ANTM fan and signed him up. I cannot with Jeremy. I cannot with
literally, Jeremy. I know. I just... I get it. Jeremy's so interesting to me because Jeremy...
He's so uninteresting.
He's interesting because everything he says seems in conflict with the last thing he said. Yes. Like, we're literally... And you said this. He's like a child. It's like he's discovering new things about himself at every minute. Because the show's all in on Jeremy.
Yeah.
They want us to like Jeremy.
Yeah, and he's just not... giving us much to work with.
But the full creep here is Mike, because he says about Bianca, I'm the oldest, she's the youngest, in the creepiest tone.
Why with the mention it?
Why? Nobody asked.
Because he says he has a crush on her and then says what you says. And it's funny because I'm the oldest and she's the youngest. I'm like, just don't say the second part.
Nope. Also, I'm sorry, you're a ice cream man. Please don't talk about people younger than you. Please stop it.
Jesus.
I do want to give Johnny a good moment he has with Alexandra where she's having a hard time feeling it. And he goes, you know, you're hot. You're wearing a piece of leather as a skirt.
I mean, mm-hmm. Then pew, 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 pew. Space laser transitional music.
Marvin has this moment. I just want to pull out because I understand what he's saying. But, well, first, Johnny tells Marvin that he looks like a reptile and he says, thank you, which was great.
Yeah, I love that.
Then he goes that he has no plan B. This is a big group with no backups.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, no backup schools for this college
really
season.
Desperate group.
And he says, I mean, people are asking, how are you going to pay your rent? I don't know. But no one knows. And that's like life. You just don't know.
That's tomorrow, Marvin's broken.
Who can argue that a lot of people
do know,
make it a priority to know how they're going to pay their rent.
Your father was a janitor, so he could pay rent. Back at the house, Jeremy is gross because he is chatting with Jordan in the hot tub while Corey snickers.
Look, Corey,
let's talk about in the hot tub
Corey
real quick.
Is actually in the hot tub. Corey is wearing a bathing suit, sipping a cocktail, enjoying the hot tub.
Yes.
Jordan is wearing a sweater, perched on the edge.
Who forced Jordan to sit at this hot tub?
This hot tub is a foot bath.
Fully clothed.
The whole time, the show, we barely mentioned it, but the whole time, the show itself, as well as Jeremy, have been trying to pair Jeremy and Jordan as a potential love interest. And
as the one true pairing for some reason.
No one's been less interested than Jordan.
No. She's been like giving him advice, like telling him there's lights on photo shoots. But
he's like,
there's...
she showed me attention.
And she said, like, he's nice. Like,
there's
he's
no
fine.
Chemistry between these two people
no.
whatsoever. his only criterion for whether he's going to have a crush on a girl is hot and nice. What he perceives as nice.
And he said, I don't like girls in relationships. It doesn't make sense. What?
No, I got what he was saying. He was saying that there's no reason to have a crush on a girl that is in a relationship,
Because with someone else.
There's no way you can do it. Which, that's not the worst way to be. But the problem is that he's saying that, but his actions are not expressing that.
No. And the other thing about Jordan is that we see a photo from home and she has a hot boyfriend waiting for her.
And then Corey said, I'm going to have bored. Some fun.
tinker, soldier, spy.
I would just have to myself and y'all are bumming me out with this straight bullshit. What can I say?
Where's Verge? Where's Chris S?
And then somehow this ends. I literally couldn't follow it because somehow it ends with Jeremy being mad at Jordan.
Because she says that he's been following her around like a puppy.
Oh, right.
And then he gets mad because that's the worst, meanest thing that a girl has ever said to him, and responds by saying, this is what I don't like. What's the point of being nice to girls if they're just going to be nasty like that?
That is and I say this knowing this is a lot, that is what a rapist says.
That's where it starts. That's the seed of the idea.
That's a dehumanization.
Is the only reason to be nice to women
is for sexual conquest.
Yes.
Yeah. It's so weird. It's
like that SNL sketch with AD Bryant. It's called Girl at a Bar, and mm-hmm. she sits down and a guy, they're being more like feminist, like pro-feminist, and as soon as she rejects a date, they freak out and they're mad. That's what it is. Like, I'm being nice for a goal.
You're that not goal being nice because sex. You're an actual nice person.
Yeah.
Not to women. Maybe to other dudes.
Well, women aren't people, Hannah.
Exactly. And that's the seed of the idea that's creepy.
Mm-hmm. Marvin calls his dad. We get another week one CP12
in a log cabin sauna phone booth?
Yeah, not sure about the design of this.
When you say call, what does that mean? Because we have a computer screen.
Or sure. Skype phone call.
I thought it was going to be a Skype session, but it appears that there is no picture on the screen.
This is Zoom audio only.
Yeah.
There is an ornate golden telephone sitting directly next to the computer.
They are virtually calling people via the internet, but
this is a FaceTime audio.
But to phones.
Wi-Fi, but no signal. I do love when anyone calls their dad Pop. That always just warms my heart. And this poor confused father.
Oh my God.
Victoria wishes. Marvin starts crying and is like, I understand you so much more now. But he doesn't seem to give any lead up to this. So his dad's like,
no context.
Okay.
He's like, yeah.
I love you too, son.
You just now understood that I did a job to pay for things?
Should I have been teaching you about money more?
Oh no. Why is Chris H. drawing in the phone room?
Is this his allotted phone time and he has nobody he wants to call?
Because his mom abandoned him.
Very sad.
That makes me sad.
Very sad.
And how are the fucking treadmill and bike already broken?
What did you do?
When Phil says that and he's like, but cardio is my thing. Like, I got to have some of that. And we show people exercising because, again, we get a return to people using things that are not exercise equipment as exercise equipment.
These planters.
These pots and planters being used as weights. But yeah, how are they?
You've been there for 10 hours.
What did you do?
I would be so
And
angry.
Phil seems irritated, so it doesn't feel like Phil did this.
No, it feels like a Chris H. situation.
Sabotage.
But this is when we've been talking about it. Nina's sitting down with Chris H., getting into the story. I haven't said as much about Chris H. because I just don't know where my brain is with him yet, but
sure.
It's interesting to me when anyone says that people don't know my story, people don't know why I'm like this, but then in the context of the show, he still doesn't say more. Mm-mm. I also think it's really interesting when someone knows where they get their trauma from, but doesn't seem to be currently working on working through that trauma. Like, he is ready at a moment's notice to express to Nina, I know where the weirdness comes from. I know where the social issues come from. But then it's like, okay, but then what's next?
It's because
am I making any sense?
Yes, he doesn't.
You are.
He doesn't have any desire to change his behavior.
Mm-hmm. But it also, it also, I wonder seems if he just like
doesn't
someone,
know the tools.
It you
know,
seems like maybe. Someone who has maybe not moved out of like a victim mentality yet, because he's very focused on other people judging him and him not being safe, as opposed to like, you know, what can I do?
Yeah, I just think it's hard for me, and it's hard for me to sympathize when it's just like, well, they don't know my story, and it's like, yeah, that's how life is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, you have to at some point decide to behave in a way that, like, you're in a society and a community of people. And he has no. It just at this point doesn't seem like he wants to go beyond that.
All these people except for Mike are young. I always have to remember that.
And Adam with his old face.
Nina's being so sweet with him, and I do. As you phrased it, JW, think she is trying to give him these tools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm not sure that's how he's receiving that.
No, he's now seeing Nina, I think. Nina is now his out. This, mm-hmm. like, crutch that he can rely on and use.
Yeah.
It's nice to see everyone being so cool to Verge. Everyone's just pumping her up.
This moment with Marvin where he says, I'm glad you are who you are, is just the perfect thing to say. It's so sweet.
And I also think... it's nice. And I know you mentioned that there might be an update that Marvin's on a queer spectrum, but I do think it's nice whenever anyone who is being seen as straight is cool to someone in the LGBTQ community, because it's almost like presumed that hopefully queer people are going to support other queer people. I think there's this extra added layer of it being really nice.
Yeah.
Theme song preview.
Preview. What is
just this? A little transitional theme song.
What is this hotel waiting room setup?
Flowers.
And why does Brian Boy have bunny ears on?
Ugh.
I paused. When you guys watch, do you pause?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to. The amount of things I write.
Oh my God.
Could you imagine?
Listeners, I wish you could have seen the facial responses of Lex and Hale. Like, yeah.
I would have to watch this episode.
Why do you think every episode is double the length it's supposed to be when I watch it?
If I had to, if I didn't pause, I would have to watch it 5 times, and I can't do that to my mental health.
Where do you think this hot dog statue research comes from? Lucky pauses.
Lucky pause. That's the name of my casino. Lucky pauses.
Every time you pull the slot machine, it does like a, oh, no.
I think I paused on the worst frame in Top Model history, because I paused on Rob Kelly and Buddy Ears Brian Boy. And I was like, I couldn't have paused on Tyra and Johnny. Because Johnny's here to talk about the models, and Tyra is only seated next to him, which I feel like is a telling.
Well, that's maybe because Kelly Catrone is in full asshole mode the entire time.
Does Kelly like anybody?
She says that Alexandra is a car show model. When she Alexandra is good.
The picture's amazing.
Nina looks like Kurt Cobain's illegitimate daughter from Seattle, which is making so many shitty judgments about so many things. And also, Nina's was one of my favorite photos.
Yes.
I could have used her hair being placed differently, but it was a good modeling shot.
Mm-hmm. Love Johnny defending her.
Oh, yeah. Now, this is Johnny, Little Thorn, Little Rose. Mm-hmm. Some of this was language of a time. I'm going to give the tiniest credit, but when they talk about Verge, the panel, Johnny says, a transgender a lot instead of trans or transgender. But then Johnny makes actually, I think, a really fascinating point that recently Givenchy is using trans models. So I kind of like this. Not only should we be cool about this because Verge's who they are should not be a limiting factor in being a good model, just is she a good model?
Right.
But also Johnny's saying, like, this is also something that people in fashion...
Well, Johnny's the only person left who has any connection to what fashion
is. It's a little bit of, I think, what is for the show, an unwelcome reality check. In that, like, you know, Tyra always likes to put herself on the forefront of all of these things.
And now they're
and sometimes
behind.
That's legitimate. Sometimes it is, but it's not really a fashion competition anymore. And they are falling behind.
Yeah. Yep. But I loved that. And also, we don't talk about anybody, really. Listeners, we've mentioned basically everyone they talk about.
Yep.
We see Danny for 5 seconds, and I don't think Rob actually said one word.
I don't think
that's edited
a
in.
Word.
Mm-mm.
don't think sexy. Brian Boy did either.
Sexy, not sexy.
It's like a soundboard. Not sexy, not sexy.
Oh, yeah. You know, he said something terrible about Corey.
Poofter, Benda. So Verge decides to talk to a producer so that she can talk to Tyra to have a conversation.
And then Tyra is in the most perfectly made up trailer.
With the candles.
Mm-hmm. And she's in a perfect not robe robe.
This is a costume robe with her hair perfectly done.
Yeah.
And as much as Tyra's hair could be perfectly done.
And Verge wants to leave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tyra lies and says that, I've done a lot of research about HRT.
It is unfortunate that she gives a summary that is vastly inferior to the one Verge has already given us this episode.
And honestly, the show gave us so much of Verge. It's like, yeah, we know the story. We know Verge's story more than anybody.
Yeah.
But I did think it was ultimately a very sweet moment that Tyra sends her out with positive vibes, saying that she wants to photograph her. Yeah. They have the little moment about how like Verge jokes about trying to find the light while they're doing this. It was all in all a nice moment.
But I think that's because Verge is cool. Like, I really think Verge is bringing such great energy to all her interactions.
She controlled this well.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, but that's gone. Now everyone's like, I could win this. Now they're all in it. That's what I would think. If I was a contestant, I'd be like, that is sad. I love Verge. Could I win this now? The front runner seems gone.
The pushed back hairstyle.
Chosen because it's so windy out that it was gonna happen anyway.
I love that Gianna says, I see the guest logo, so I guess is gonna be a prize.
And Alexandra said, fart to dream come true.
The CEO of Guess comes out to prove that no one knows who any male models are.
Also, I'm sorry, is the CEO here? He has no creative control. He is literally
an old rich man.
An old rich man who always donated to Democrats until 2016.
Ooh, what an interesting brand update. Yeah.
And also, Guess has had a really bad... I like Guess, but they've had a really bad problem with sweatshop labor and tried to sue Rage Against the Machine and Unite for saying that Rage Against Sweatshops, we don't wear Guess, a message from Rage Against the Machine and Unite, Injustice, don't buy it. They countered and said they put up an ad and in newspapers that guaranteed 100% free of sweatshop labor, which then was changed because federal authorities complained that the claims had no basis.
I was going to say, honey, don't write a check that your mouth can't cash.
Yeah, for real.
Tyra is about to deliver the news of the cuts, standing next to a Lucite podium that she never uses.
Yes.
What was that glorious Lucite podium there for? And this is when I said, wow, I literally don't know who's cast on this show. Like, this was the only time in the history of America's Next Top Model so far that I've been like, some people, like, I was sitting here like, I can't believe Chris S. doesn't make it on the show. Clea, she's great. Why are we sleeping on Clea?
Chris S. is the happiest surprise of this cycle.
I had
partially
no idea.
Because he makes this whole segment so much more fun than it has any right to be.
We also get a double Tyra 2 list about guest models.
Oh, I love that. I love that CEO didn't name one male model. Nope. And Tyra had to name the same ones again.
Yeah.
So. Call out order. Despite Kelly's fervent hatred, Alexandra is first.
Mm-hmm. Truly shocked that she was first, because I thought the second call out would have been the first one Tyra said.
Mm-hmm. Mike.
There was no way he was never not getting on the show.
Oh, Tyra literally picked him.
Someone who clearly should not have made this cast.
No. Then Renee.
Yay.
Thank God. Yeah. Then Corey.
Love right? it.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan. Of course.
Uh-huh.
Dawn, which I was kind of shocked about.
This was my first surprise. This was my first surprise got on the show.
I remembered that he was on the show. I did.
Then Gianna.
Great. More chaos.
Christopher S.
I cannot believe these two in a row. Chris S. and the next one's Clea. I was like,
Then Jeremy.
Which we knew was going to happen because we got so much of him.
Then Nina.
Yay.
Yay. Then Phil. Then Bianca. I'm shocked they cast both Gianna and Bianca. Yes. I assume they cast Bianca because Mike has a gross crush on
Mike
her. Because
Mike said she was hot. Yep.
And then Chris H., uh-huh. Which I thought was going to be their last. I had a feeling he made it on, but I thought it was going to be the last. And then Chris S., as soon as Chris H. is called, goes, Chris Squared? What maniacal energy.
Chris Squared?
I'm also like, Chris, are you sure you want to claim this, Chris?
No, don't. Then Kanani.
Another great surprise, truly. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And finally, Marvin.
And this is my favorite math maybe that's ever happened, because we knew Marvin was getting on the show. He said way too much screen time. I believe all of Marvin's emotions toward his father are genuine.
Yeah.
I also believe that Marvin knows that this is what the show wants from him, so he's gonna give it to them.
Sure.
Because he says the pressure that I've put on myself is equivalent to the sacrifice my dad put in for me to be on this show.
Perfect. Perfect reality television.
Perfect math.
So not moving on are Delton. Thank God. Mm-hmm. Danny.
Would have put him on.
Me too.
Oh, I know.
Over Jeremy.
Nick with the eyebrows.
Would have put him on over Mike.
Justin, who looks like the short one from Hickory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We didn't get anything from him, though.
No.
No.
Adam. Thank God.
Ooh, yes.
Caress.
Aww. Boo.
Ashley.
Boo.
And then the two unconfirmed ones were Haley and Linnea.
I will say this. There are men contestants that I would have switched out.
Yeah.
I'm happy with the 8 women.
Yeah. I'm not angry at the women.
I would have swapped Bianca. Yeah. But Bianca's I'm not like, mad
whatever. I would have maybe had Caress instead, but we didn't actually get that much from Caress, so maybe she wasn't that good of a model. But like
Or Ashley. I wanted more Ashley.
Ashley. Yeah, truly. Marvin also says something fascinating, because we, in the terms of production, talk about the first call out, last call out of the audition episodes. Marvin is sad to be called last, as if this is an order.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no. This is just TV. Marvin, you don't have to feel bad about being last here. You're just last because you cry, and they knew you're going to cry.
Yeah. And you know who else cried? Adam. And I just wrote, good. Cry, drink those tears.
Ugh. Nina has a Nina 4 list because she thinks the judges, Tyra, the fates, and the stars.
Perfect.
Just really good, very award show energy. Very like, I gotta say all of it. Do not believe in God, but I'll give you judges, Tyra, fates, stars.
Witchy energy.
Then Tyra
tells us a little too much.
Too much.
Uh-huh. Because she starts by saying, you guys are the living embodiment of my dream.
Come true.
And then says, when she first had the idea for this show, her agent told her it was a stupid idea because models are vapid and insensitive.
So Top Model is a spite project.
Which, love that energy. Why now? This has, and here's the thing.
10 years later.
Because 2.0, JW, 2.0.
No. This should have been, if she was going to say this, do it in the college cycle.
Of course.
Because that's all about education.
Right. But now men are here, so, you know, smarts.
Then we get thunder sound effects. Because Tyra reveals, we're going to do like a bingeable version of Top Model now, apparently, where we get a cliffhanger, literally.
But no outro music.
This was very Fear Factor-esque.
Yeah.
Who will walk? Who will fall?
Who will, as if anyone's going to fall.
Who will plummet to their death?
Who is immediately cut because they died?
Plummet fiercely. I did a Where Are They Now on Verge. Because I was like, I know usually don't do them for auditions, but Verge was such a big character.
Well, and was basically on the show.
Yes.
Truly. So Verge, Lynn.
Sorry, do you think like Bianca got in because Verge said bye?
Maybe.
Oh, honestly. I mean, there was definitely like, if they were going to take 16 and Verge dropped out.
And we just saw the least from Bianca of any of the women who made it on.
Yeah. Maybe.
They're like, oh, well, whatever. Mike's going to creep.
And like I mentioned in another episode, sometimes goes by Stephanie, sometimes goes by Steph. The Instagram handle is aliensoup, and it's ALI3NS0.
Oh my God, some weed speak ass.
One interesting thing. So I looked up basically two things. One is a competition specifically to find trans models. There's an article from out.com about it. It's from Slay Model Management, and that's one of the world's first agencies to exclusively focus on transgender models. And they did a contest with 20 finalists for the first ever worldwide transgender model search. And at that time going by, I think Stephanie Lynn Verge was on that competition, and it was like, I think it was like broadcast to Hear TV, which is, I think, a now defunct LGBTQ plus video service.
Yes.
But you could also attend, and they had a link with the things. And I thought this was an interesting quote. "We chose each girl for her star quality," said Cecilio Ascension, the founder and director of Slay Model Management. "It takes more than beauty to be a top model. It takes determination, a healthy outlook, and a visceral understanding that she is a model first and a trans woman second. Slay is not about selling transness. We are selling a young woman's capability to represent a brand or a designer." Hmm. Which I thought was interesting. I don't think she won it, but she was part of the 20 finalists. I normally don't, as we've mentioned multiple times on the podcast, go too hard into any post-show interviews.
Right.
But I was fascinated, truly, that the Oliver Twixt library of interviews included Verge. Because, yes, again, she's not a contestant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me just say, first of all, Verge had some of the best audio I've ever seen on a Zoom. Thank God. Someone new. And here was some fascinating stuff. I'll start with the grimy and end with the positive.
Good.
Because I think, let's end on a positive note. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when the billboard photo moments were happening, that was actually when Verge decided, I'm done. And the reason is that afterwards, Verge went to, and Brian Boy is apparently interviewing people, and Brian Boy came up to Verge and said, "Well, you just did poorly. How does it feel?"
What?
And then Verge was like, "I don't want to do this."
Yeah.
So Brian Boy is the reason we truly lost Verge.
Cool.
Because there was in my opinion, worse thing that happened earlier. And this is, I'm about to say something, full transphobia. So, okay. Trigger warning for folks who may not want to listen to this, but during the lingerie runway, when they all come in to see their outfits, they had names on them. They had Verge's dead name.
What?
And
why?
They excused it away as a, quote, PA made a mistake or something along those lines, but Verge was like, "But I never..."
Yeah, did you even know this name?
No, that is fully there for people to start talking.
And then what was fascinating was that Verge was, I think, I'm inferring a little bit. I think Verge at that moment in the show was like, that's the one thing, because all the contestants were apparently, she said, all the stuff that I said about the contestants being lovely, that is still true. Everyone was. And especially amazing, she called out five people. Mm-hmm. Clea, Nina, Chris S., and Corey were apparently loved, wonderful.
Sure.
And apparently there's a funny quick story about Clea was apparently sitting beside of her right before she decided to like leave, talk to producers and all that stuff. And apparently Clea said something funny like, "Are you just going to leave?" Like, it was very, very funny.
In a very Clea seeming way.
Yeah. Alina, who was there briefly, was another Red Lip Smize winner.
She was. Alina was. Yeah.
Yeah, Elena. And I was like, and she was like, she got zero screen time, but she was lovely. I loved her so much too. So
she was Vampire.
Vampire, yes.
So I was glad you played that clip earlier, Lex, and we got more in that clip than we did
on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll say this. It's interesting to have a two-part audition episode because I do feel like we know a lot about the contestants going in compared to something like Cycle 16, where we were like, who's anybody? they better give Gianna and Bianca different makeovers.
Oh my God. Yeah, because I can't tell those two women apart.
I am really worried, since I didn't remember them, that some of our favorites are going to be gone very quickly.
Me too.
Everyone that I like, I don't remember at all except for Corey.
Yeah. Nina. I remember Nina.
I worry Clea is going to be a first boot.
I'm worried about Chris S. for the same
reason.
I'm
very worried about Chris S.
I'm worried about Chris S. because of Rob fucking Evans. what I'm worried about.
I like that we have multiple queer men. I actually didn't expect that. I thought that would be Corey's whole deal, was he had to be the gayest for the gays because he's the only gay they would allow on.
But if you're the only gay in your neck of the woods, don't worry. You've got us queer people.
Oh.
And you can rate, review, and subscribe to these queer ass people by doing that thing. We love hearing from you, your hot takes, your ice tea. You can also reach out to us at podleadum.com. Or send us an email where you can chat directly with our own Hannah Drake Ginsburg at podleadum@gmail.com.
And speaking of queer-friendly spaces, the Discord.
Oh.
If you want a lovely queer-friendly space, please hop on over to the Discord and talk about Top Model or math or whatever.
Anything you want. We got a chit-chat channel.
Mm-hmm. People from all over the world, too.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me anywhere at Yet Charming.
I'm on Instagram at Hannah Jane Ginsburg.
And I'm on TikTok at JWCrump. Okay.
And be sure to use the hashtag PodLeadem and queer ass people whenever you talk about us.
Please.
So for PodLeadem, I have been Lex Basile Price.
I'll be Hannah Jane Ginsburg.
And I'm JWCrump.
And we'll see you on top.
PodLeadem is not endorsed by America's Next Top Model, Tyra Banks, 10x10 Entertainment, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. America's Next Top Model and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.